Let's do this. Welcome, everyone, to episode four.
Yeah.
Episode four of the Vibecast, the podcast celebrating the 20-year history. At some point, I got to go to 21, right? I
mean, nah.
The 20-year history of the Philadelphia band Chico's Vibe. I'm John Parkinson. I'm here with producer Matt Kelly. At this recording date, we're getting ready to roll into the 2021 holiday season. It's fortuitous, Matt, because we have here in front of us the three wise men of Chico's
yes!
Vibe. Bearing gifts of song.
I don't know about why.
Gifts of song and
gold,
story.
Gold, myrrh, and Frankenstein.
For all of Delco.
The three wise. The three wise ass, yeah. Man.
Hey, yo. The three wise guys.
I don't think it's that star. I don't have to follow that star. I'm going to follow that star.
Get the water.
You follow your own star.
I'm in a bathroom.
I didn't think that was going to go that way. Just to give our audience a little bit of a heads up, what we're going to talk about today on today's podcast. So we'll talk a little bit at the end about Christmas songs. We'll do a segment of stories from the set list that we usually do on our podcast. But as you guys know, we have a special guest coming up for today's podcast.
We do.
Who our listeners will love, but who's probably going to spend a lot of time talking about how great he is himself. So with that noted, I think we need to jump right into today's podcast to allow time for that. And I thought we'd jump right to our first topic, which is sort of a prelude to our special guest. That topic, as our prelude to Rick Anthony, that topic is Chico's Vibe guest singers over the years. So over the years, we've had many, many great singers,
yeah.
All different varieties of singers, levels of confidence and levels of talent. And reflecting on that, it's going to be a fun topic, I think, because these singers include people we admire, great performers, wonderful occasions, good friends, and memorable moments.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those memorable moments, you know, come from the performances that weren't so great. So, you know, maybe mm-hmm. we can talk about that. But to sort of provide a framework for talking about guest singers, I thought we'd try to lay out some categories of guest singers. And one person I want to bring up who's dear to the heart of our producer, Matt Kelly, who I wouldn't call a guest singer. I think she's more an informal member of Chico's Vibe is Donna Kelly.
Yeah.
Because for those of you who don't know, when we need a female singer in some of our gigs, we have a go-to person, and that's Gebby's sister, Donna.
Donna,
great singer.
Kelly.
So I'm not calling her a guest. I'm calling
class
her
of Archbishop Carroll, 1979.
But I think we need to do sort of a special shout out to Donna.
Yes, absolutely.
Fabulous singer.
But then in terms of the categories of singers, first category, no particular order, but there's the Sinatra singer. We get Sinatra singers.
Okay.
In our band, right? Or crooner types.
Oh, we have some good ones.
I think another category is, I'll call the friend of the bride. Like, there's play a lot of the weddings. So a lot of times we get, you know, there's lots of subcategories in front of the bride.
Yeah. Uncle
the bride.
Frank.
Yes.
Uncle Frank can, you know, he can sing.
There's celebrity guest singers. So there's different varieties of what I'll call celebrities.
Gotcha.
You know, sometimes politicians. I'll throw in the Gephardt family in my mind is a category because there's so many good singers
that come up. Yes.
And along those lines, there's the Liney family. Right?
Yes.
Yep.
And then I could have this as the Friends of Dennis. Because there are times you never know when one's going to be called upon to come up. And the last category I have is just, I got it, the uncategorizable.
the
unique indescribable singer. There's more than a few.
That should probably be the largest category. I'd like to just say something about Donna first. I remember Gebby when we were in the John Hoey Orchestra. He used to bring in this girl named Michelle Haran.
I didn't.
No. John Hoey
did. How
does
Gebby get the blame?
Yeah, Michelle
was good. But
Michelle Haran.
Yes.
Right.
Oh my God,
and
I can't believe
she was pretty good. She was okay. Yeah. But, you know, and then we would use Donna sometimes.
We just lost a podcast listener.
I remember who
minus
Michelle,
one
she
subscription.
Listens. Anyway.
Minus one subscription.
I remember Gebby telling John Hoey, if you don't get my sister and use up Michelle Haran again, I'm quitting the band.
Whoa!
I totally don't remember
that. Donna's fantastic, and she's such a beautiful person. She's been playing in the band that we use up at these Eddie Morris, I call them Jesus jams.
Oh, yeah.
Once a month, right? She brought
her... Wait, you do this once a month? I got to get back on Facebook. I didn't even know that.
We missed a lot during COVID, of course. But we brought her in... Oh, God. It started out with just me. Then it was me and Doc. Then I think we added Zinni, then a bass player. Then Donna. I asked Don. I wouldn't ask Gab because I knew he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm at home, you know.
You know he's. We needed a female voice. But I used to be the star of the band. Donna came in, and the first night she sang, just like soared way above me. She's the big star now of that band. Everybody wants to come up and meet her at the end.
I don't like
it. They all come up to me and say, she's really good, man. Who is that? I said, that's Donna.
I don't like that.
What about me?
There was a meeting I had with the bride and groom, and the night of the meeting, the bride goes, I want to tell you something. My uncle is an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, God.
And I said, oh, that's cool. She goes, no. She goes, it's not cool. She goes, I guarantee you he's going to make a beeline for the mic the day of the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, if you do anything right by me, you will make sure that he never gets his hands on the mic. So I remember I'm telling Chico this. I'm like, we got to watch out tonight. There's supposed to be this, blah, blah. We're all prepared. Dance floor is packed. And I could see him in the distance.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see Uncle Elvis, you know, just like, and I'm like, yeah, that's him. He's got the burns. He's got, you know, and he turns and he starts going towards the stage. And I slap Dennis on the shoulder. I'm like, here he is. Incoming. He's coming. Come on. Yeah. He's like, you know, thank you very much. He's like starting to walk up to the stage. Mother of the bride stopped him before he even got out there. She just goes, no. No, he's like, come on! I'm just gonna do one song. I can do, you know. I can tell you guys. No,
I remember a couple other little parts to that before the part you're talking about, Ed. He came up with his friend,
Tony Montana.
Yeah, Tony. He's going, oh, he's great, man. You gotta let him sing. I said, we were told nobody's allowed to sing with the band. Yeah, but he's great, man. Everybody will love him. They want him to sing. I said, well, you know, if you asked the bride and the bride's mom and get the okay, but you got to ask her for, oh, no, she'll say, yeah. Well, the mom, that's when the mom comes walking up behind him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at the mother like this, and what's going on? He wants to sing. No, absolutely not. You're not singing. You're not. I'm like, thank you, God.
My favorite moment of someone coming up to sing was a wedding that we played. I think it was a Korean wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And the bride.
Downtown Club.
Was it? Yes, yeah, it was at the downtown club. And the bride says, my Uncle Joe, I can't remember the exact name, but it was like my Uncle Joe wants to get up and sing Oh Danny Boy. So we're like, all right, you know, okay. Well, when we call him up, here comes this old Korean guy, you know.
little
tiny Korean guy comes walking up, and all I'm thinking is, oh my God, what is this going to sound like?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is this going to sound like? All I could picture in my head is like Miyagi's drunk song from Karate Kid. So he comes up and I'm like, all right, you know, do you have a key? Do you want to do it? And I swear to God, out of his mouth he went, we do a key of C. And I go, okay. So I play the intro, and he steps up to the mic, this little, you know, little Korean guy, and all of a sudden you hear, Danny boy, the pipes, the pipes. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm crying. That was the best. That
didn't
was
he
the
come
best.
Up after KFC, didn't he say, Randy, begin.
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 Ed does this standing next to me all the time. Ready, begin.
We got to throw in the all-time guest singer, who's John McKeever.
I was going to. I got him in the uncategorizable category.
Okay, we'll save him then for that.
No, we can talk about him now.
Yeah.
He's McKeever. There's no other.
Everybody, he even has a theme song.
He does. You know,
McKeever. 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 I used to love calling him. He would come out every gig we played, every gig that he could. And I love John McKeever.
Yes,
know.
We all do.
I would call him up, you know, because he expected to sing every time he came out. And he'd be sitting at the bar. Usually we would do it third set, so John popped up pretty good by that period. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and he's like in his seat at the bar. He's usually at the corner of the bar. And we're going to bring up John McKeever, ladies and gentlemen. Bringing up John McKeever. And we'd start playing the song, and he would still be sitting there drinking his beer. He would wait.
He knows showmanship.
People would go up and, John, you're up, you're up. And they'd lead him up to the stage. Yeah. And then he'd come up.
He takes a very Dylan-esque approach to Sweet Caroline.
Yes. The great thing is if you catch him on the break after that, like you said, he's pretty popped up by that point.
Oh, yeah.
He becomes emotional John.
Oh, yes. Well,
and I just go,
we love you, John.
John, you were on fire tonight. I think this was your best night I've ever heard it. Well, let me just tell you about, I got to tell you, you guys, I mean, you know, my daughter's wedding, both thought, and I'm like, John,
it's all right,
John. It's all right, John. Yeah, you know, because, and then he's fine. He's back on track. He's like, yeah, you know, Vicky's over there, and she's looking, and I, you know, big club. I just go pee, Ed. I know that's what you're trying to do.
Oh, God.
He's the best.
Oh, yes. John McKeever. Where it began. I love that guy, man.
Yes.
Where it began. Begin to knowing. Yeah.
When I used to, when Doc and I would be playing, and we'll say like the Oakmont Pub, and John was there every night, and we do Sweet Caroline. As soon as the song was done, you were just like, Doc Strong would break into, there's only one.
Yes.
John McKeever.
Now, on the other uncategorizable, I have Sam.
Well, we have Liney.
Yeah, so yes. He crosses categories. Oh, he's got three.
Was that in a Chico's friend list?
He's almost uncategorizable.
Is there a Brown Note category?
And he's the Sinatra crooner.
Me and Gabby discovered him.
Well, first, let's make sure everybody understands Liney is Mike Liney.
Liney, yes. Mike Liney. Well, he's the only Liney that everybody just calls Liney. Liney.
Yeah.
But everybody else, Billy,
Kevin,
you know, Megan, everybody has their first name except Liney.
So Liney sang the prayer of St. Francis. Make me a channel of your peace, but I wrote out the chart.
No, different than the way.
Oh, okay.
I wrote out the chart based off of I've Got You Under My Skin.
Nice.
Yeah, so he came out and he's like, make me a channel of your peace.
Hey, Mr. Grant, he was great. He was great. And I'd say the first 5, 6, 7 years of Chico's Vibe, we played a lot of weddings, friends of Mike Liney, he went to high school with and things like that. And they always wanted him to sing the first song. Yeah.
Oh,
the first dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was always a Sinatra song that they wanted him to sing, whichever one it was. Matt Cantwell, who was our bass player at the time.
Yes.
Coming up to me after one particular gig where Liney sang first dance. He was like, Chico, is he like our designated first dance singer?
Like if you go to the owner's manual. It's like listed there. Liney must do first. Yeah.
Me and Dennis were playing a duo gig up in the old Main Lion. I forget what it became after that.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And I had gone that day and fixed. I used to have a little monitor speaker. And I fixed it. I put new speakers in it, the whole thing. So it was sounding great.
Oh, I know so what I you're brought. Say.
So here, Mike, you know, Liney's at the gig. So we get him up and he's singing That's Life. So I play the intro, and he hits that first note. Hey, that's life. And I look down, and my speaker's lit up red because there's a light bulb in it when it's overdriving. And then, kaboom, blows it out. I said, son of a gun, he blew out my speaker.
So let's go to, like, celebrity guest singers. We've had
a
Barkan.
Barkan.
A little bit better than Rick Anthony and Rick Anthony. Oh.
We had Ed Rendell.
Ed Rendell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was a few times, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We had Lou Tilly on backup vocal.
Oh my God,
Lou Tilly. I forgot Lou Tilly.
Yeah, that was at Rose Tree. He just came running up.
He went up to the trumpet mic, and he started singing into it. And I think you guys on the side of stage were like, what the hell's going on?
Well, he actually took over the stage for a while at Rose Tree. He brings his daughter up. Yes. He's coming up to me. Let's do one for the doctor, talking about Pacropis.
Yes, yeah. Hey, speaking of, I don't think she ever sang with us, but I always remember Monica Malpass. But remember?
Oh, yeah,
she came up on stage once, but
I don't think she sang with us. But yeah,
I just kind of remember the leather pants. That's...
Well, that was the morning, the Channel 6 morning crew.
Channel 6 morning crew actually. Yeah. Played.
Right.
Bass drums and
and the cowbell.
I think Michael Nutter got up on stage with us. Yes. I don't know if he sang.
That was at Fred's Footsteps.
Wait yes.
Yeah.
You know who sang? Yuki Washington.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yes.
My Girl.
Yeah, he did My Girl. Oh. Yes.
Yuki is great in general. Yeah. Cool. You know, I think Tommy Conwell sang with us once.
He did.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
Then there's the singers you call up at the third set of any bar we're in.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the guy who just sang with us down at V. He sang Always and Forever.
Oh, that was great. That goes in the uncategorizable.
It really does.
Yeah.
I wish we had a recording of that.
The great thing was he had a separate...
I kind of put that out of my mind.
He had a separate tempo than the band.
Oh, yeah.
And Gebbie and Brian Farr were adding beats because he'd be like, Always and Forever. It'd be like a 5-4 measure.
Yes.
And then there'd be like... And they were just like, okay, take time to tell. And there was the one guy in the front. Do you remember the guy in the front with the beer that was like listening to it? Like he was like, Celine Dion.
Or there was the other wedding when the guy, it was near the end of the night. I remember that guy wanted to get up and sing One in a Million. And he sang it a cappella.
Oh, jeez.
He sang in 5 different keys and 5 different tempos. I tried to play, and I said, "No, you're on your own."
We also had a guy ahead of you, Gabby.
We also had a guy who said he left the Commodore.
Commodore's guy.
Yes.
And he did.
We can't wait.
Ooh,
yes.
Baby, baby.
And we're like, oh.
We had all kind of guys. Yeah, that guy from the Commodores.
Yeah. The Commodores.
It sounded like a werewolf.
He was not actually from the Commodores.
Yeah, I mean, like,
he's like me and that. He was like me and that Lionel Richie had differences of opinion, so I went my way.
I'm out.
I went my way. He went.
Now I'm an accountant.
Yeah.
Hey, jumping back into good ones. I can't remember her name. Who's She was a bride. She used to come out and sing Respect.
Little John.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah.
Little John.
Sada.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Littlewood. She married
Littlewood.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she's great.
She says R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You're awesome. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Just thinking of Overbrook.
Oh.
We're downstairs.
Mary Kate.
But she never sang.
She never sang.
But that's one where he used to invite. It got to the point where everybody at the party for Ives got a chance to sing with the band.
Oh, yes.
Terry Ives' wife would come up and sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that little girl. What was the song she always used to sing?
She always wanted to do Smile Though Your Heart Is Aching. Smile Even Though It's Breaking.
It was an Overbrook members party. And this guy comes down, you know, who thought he was like our best friend. He came down. Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah. We have some guest singers. And I'm like, all right, who do you got? Well, we got blah, blah, blah. He named like 5 guys. I go, what? Oh, and we got 5 guest singers. Yeah, the 2 brothers, they do the Soul Man. You know, just like Belushi and Ackroyd.
Yes.
And the other guy who I really like, he said he used to see him at work every now and then. But he used to do like an Elvis.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
And a Joe Cocker.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh.
But that guy that came downstairs, and I forget his name, I said, well, how many songs, you know, these guys want to do? Oh, several. Oh, my God, boy, this is great. And so, you know, We went up. They did Tom Petty. They did the Soul Brothers. They did Elvis. They did this and that. Matt Gallagher comes up to me in the middle of the whole fiasco, and he goes, I guess you lost control of the crowd again, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
And we had the other guy that would love to sing Feeling All Right and whatever Joe Cocker yes. song.
He put the tie-dye shirt on when
yes,
he did
he
Joe Cocker. He brought it to the
yes,
wedding.
Yes, he did.
Because you would be like, I don't know if I could do it today, guys. And then you like whip the shirt out. Oh, I guess I'll do it. You know?
All right. You want to go to our...
Yes.
The man who might be our number one guest singer.
Oh.
So our guest for today's podcast. Man. They named a TV show after this guy. The Voice.
That's right.
But I do have to say, his wife said we were only allowed to ask him yes or no questions.
Oh, that's beautiful.
To keep him limited.
And nothing about Sinatra.
That's right.
Yeah, we can't talk about Sinatra.
We can do right. Tony Bennett.
Well, Tony right. Bennett's cool.
He's a close personal friend of Tony
yes,
Bennett.
Yes, he is. Yes,
yeah, we can talk is. Michael Barkan.
But our special guest on today's podcast is somebody who has sang with Chico's Vibe many times and oftentimes gets requested, I think, by married couples and parties. Rick Anthony.
There he is, folks.
The Voice. One of the best.
Red 8, black 9. Okay.
Sorry. What? How are you, Rick?
What a thrill it is for you to have me here. It's just exciting as hell.
Okay, that's great, Rick. Let's
all
move
right,
on.
So moving
that.
On.
Moving on to songs from the set list. No. You know, Rick, before we jump into... You know, letting you talk about yourself. But before we do that, I thought some of our podcast listeners may not have heard you. So we dug up a...
Impossible.
This is actually Chico's Vibe Live,
yes.
right? At a,
yeah,
at a park concert
a park.
During Summer Wind. So Matt, go ahead.
The Summer Wind.
That's not me. What are you doing?
That's phenomenal.
It brings tears to your eyes.
Rick's defense, he had a cold that night. You know, it was
I had a lobotomy.
He had just gotten out of back surgery.
Yes.
Literally an hour before.
You know what it is? You're listening to it over a 2G network.
That's right.
So
sounds a lot different.
So that's what it sounds like.
No,
but
of course.
We're just kidding. That's not Rick. That's one of... That ties in with the whole guest singer thing. A lot of times people, we never know when somebody wants to sing with us.
Yeah. Big controversy too, Ed.
Yeah.
Remember back and forth with the girl?
Oh, I do.
So that one didn't turn out too well.
Yeah, but Rick...
kick him off.
I thought maybe we'd talk about... It goes back to our Hoey days.
Yes. Yeah.
How did we first become aware of
I know.
Rick
He's not going to know.
He's got to know.
He's not going to know.
I am going to know.
All right, let me hear.
It was at Whitford Country Club.
Wow, so far you're correct.
All right, let the man speak, for God's sakes.
You guys were all with Hoey, and it was our member guest... banquet, and you guys were just jamming like there's no tomorrow. I had not sung in a band pretty much since 1984, and I missed it. I'd sing
really?
In the locker room, or sing on the golf course. And so some of my friends started pestering John Hoey to let me sing. And this went on for like an hour and a half. So finally, during a break, John came up to me and he said, you know, we have it in our contract.
Yes.
No Uncle Charlie's. So, and I said, I respect that. I do. And he said, can you sing? And my wife, believe it or not, Robin said, oh, he can sing. So John said, well, if I bring you up, what song would you do? And I said, I don't know. How about Where or When? Sinatra at the Sands. He goes, okay. I got up there and I started jamming with you guys. And I think 7 songs later, I sat down.
I remember after about the first 4 or 5 lines that you sang, I just looked over and I said, you got every Sinatra song in our book. Do them all, man. You sound fantastic.
So at that time, you guys were making decisions about your future. And maybe 2 weeks later, John called me and said, would you be interested in doing this more on a regular basis? And I talked to Rob, and, you know, we had four kids. I had a 70-hour-a-week job, but I really missed singing. And I had sung with the Allen Lee Orchestra in Atlantic City. I had had some really neat success with it, meeting Sinatra, duetting with Tony Bennett.
All right, here we go.
And some other things. But and she encouraged me, believe it or not. She encouraged me. And that was the Robin from 20 years ago. The Robin today is like, all right, sit down, shut up. But I had a lot of fun with it. I didn't enjoy doing the weddings. I saw some things that I thought I would never see. We did a gig with John at Zanzibar Blue, and it was fabulous. It was packed. Crowd was loving it.
I think there are pictures of that on the Hoey website.
Yes, there are.
Yeah, there are. And I walked off the stage, and this guy, you know, I'm a pretty big guy, right? This guy had a hand bigger than mine. He grabbed me by my forearm. It went around my forearm. And he says, you guys are going to sing my son's christening. So, okay. Uh-oh. And he had the Mr. T starter kit. You know, the shirt was open. He's sitting there with a beautiful blonde. And he said, so what's it cost? I said, well, I'm not the band leader. Well, get him over here. So John comes over. And like 15 minutes later, he goes, who is that guy? I said, I have no idea. I never knew his name. I made a fortune for that gig. 600 people at the Ben Franklin Hotel, full strings. But the best part, and you've heard me talk about this, but I think it's worth repeating. Before the gig starts, I'm emptying my car, and I hear cameras. It's the FBI taking my picture.
Oh, my God, that's great.
And load up inside. We're all standing around, tuxes, the whole bit. And this little guy, like 5'3". Muscled up, comes in, and he hands Hoey the set list. He goes, this is the set list from your host. You are not to deviate one bit, one iota from the songs in the order they are being played. The host has spent a great deal of time going over this with the mother of the baby.
And he also showed you the Polaroids. He showed you the Polaroids of your family tied up. This is your family right now. Yeah. You want to see them later. Do the songs on a list. Thank you.
We have set up a bar and a table solely for yous to spend time when you're not performing. Yous are not to talk to anybody. I'll be watching you. I do not want a problem. And last, I can ask you guys a favor. You're going to see a lot of tomatoes walking in here in the arms of some of these guys.
He didn't say tomatoes.
My hand to God. It was Scorsese meets Damon Runyon. It was. He says, you're going to see a lot of tomatoes on the arms of these guys. Do me a personal favor. Please look askance.
Look askance.
Look askance. I don't want to be pulling one of those mamelukes off of you because you're looking somewhere you shouldn't be looking. So look askance. And sure enough, you should have seen these ladies come in. They were all dancers at Delilah.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were unbelievable. Silicone and satin. The head table.
S&S. That's a good song. Silicone and satin.
That was the original title for Satin Doll.
Silicone and satin. Yeah, it's happening. They got big boobies.
Oh, yeah, truly.
Oh, look askance.
That tomato doll.
Use look askance. Do me a favor, look askance. So the bottom line is he apparently was a very well-known connected bookie in the Philadelphia area.
Really? Interesting.
And again, never knew his name, but at the end of the gig, there's an envelope for me with $1,000 bills on top of the $500 that he wanted me to have. It was the biggest payday I had during a gig. To this day, I was wondering if he ever had any kids. The head table was Joey Merlino's mother.
Oh my God.
And with three priests, the cake was the shape of a Bible. It was the size of a football field. It was incredible.
Oh,
so that's one of my favorite stories. But anyway, I digress.
Did you know you were supposed to split that $1,000 with the rest of the guys in the band?
Do you know there's a sax player that made $5 that night?
No. It was a $500 gig. Howie did a real good job. Howie did a real good job.
I'm sure he did.
It was a $500 gig for everybody. But yes, I did split the money up. Okay.
Me too.
All right.
All right. That was a good story, Rick. And so we're going to move on to our next guest, is Michael Barkan.
When did you know, or when did you know you were going to be a good Sinatra singer? Like, how'd you get your...
Well, let me correct you.
He's not a Sinatra singer.
Oh, sorry.
No. The late great Pat Martino told me, don't let anybody tell you you're a Sinatra singer. You're you. Don't sing like him. Don't try to sing. You are you. And so Pat Martino, the great guitarist, says that. Then I'm going to listen. I've been singing Sinatra's music since 1965, when I was 5 years old. I came from a musical family. My father sings like Perry Como. To this day, my Uncle John was a professional tenor in the Wilmington Opera Company.
Does he give you attitude when you say he sings like Perry Como?
No.
He's like, Rick, look askance.
Impossible. So, you know, going a musical family with my sister who sang Dennis, just like, and Gab, just like your sister. My sister's a mezzo-soprano. And my younger brother, Paul, Gabs, who's a year ahead of you, he's a musician. So it just came naturally to me. And being at St. Dot's, where my uncle was the lead singer in the choir, everybody said, oh, you're an Anthony. You must be able to sing. So it went from there. I'm doing Al Jolson in the eighth grade talent show and went on to
Wait a minute, eighth grade?
Eighth grade.
At St. Like, Dot's?
No. See, my voice was down where it is now.
Mommy.
Sunny boy.
Sunny shines.
I'm looking out into the audience at the St. Stott's Auditorium to all the parents, and they're looking at me like, oh my God, did he drive himself here? What is that guy?
I was
13 years old. I was as tall as I am now.
Next stop, Al Albert's showcase.
You know, I saw Al Albert's years and years and years ago at Hershey Park.
Oh my God!
And I swear to God, after the show, you know, we come out of the seats, we're walking down. We're walking down to go to another part of the park, and my dad goes, "Oh my God, there's Al Albert's." I look over. I go, "Where?" And he goes, "Right there." I didn't even recognize him. Bald.
Oh, no.
Droopy shoulders. Shit. So he puts lifts in his shoes, had shoulder pads, a hairpiece. The whole thing. Wait, I didn't even recognize him.
What was the Four Aces' big hit? Didn't they have one?
Three coins in a fountain. Sing it, Rick.
No, what am I, a wind-up toy? Come on.
You know he had to be a little upset. He's like, yeah, now I'm on Before Picture Pages with Bill Cosby. Time to get your crayons and your pencils.
I'd like to pivot. I'd like to pivot a little bit here from your illustrious singing career. And you are,
yes.
I don't give out compliments easy to you especially. Because you give them all to yourself. But you're definitely the best guy I've ever heard in your genre of music.
Yes, absolutely.
Coming from you, that means so much. And it's only because I admire guys and gals that can do music. Because I understand what it takes to do it. I can't do it like you guys do. I just wish I could. To watch Haddish or Brian Farr or Chico on the bass or Gab Yu, everybody but Tony DeSantis. To watch you guys make music is just incredible. And I don't think people understand what it takes to do that.
No, so many people say, do you have a real job?
Yeah. And that's what attracted me really. That's what attracted me to Howie. His band, as you know, was filled with tremendous
great
music.
Band.
Joe Smith, come on. So
Vic.
But when Howie decided he wanted to teach and that kind of wrapped it up, I needed a place to sing. And you guys were a port in a storm once in a while.
Yeah.
And
so what he's saying is we're second choice.
Oh, it's Plan B.
What am I gonna do now?
Now you have a great stage personality.
Yes,
also, people love you. When Rick
comes on stage, it goes from Chico's vibe to Rico's vibe.
Rico's
That's
vibe.
Right, yes.
Almost every single time. And I'll just say, you know, when we're down the, in Wildwood,
yeah,
in North Wildwood, at that certain establishment down there, and we would call we would call Rick up,
yeah,
you know, and, the, you know, of course, there are people there that know who Rick was and what he would do and everything. But then as soon as we would start and he would start to sing, all of a sudden you would just see heads turn.
It's a transformation.
Yeah, yeah, and people standing there. And the next thing you know, the whole place is just standing there.
Sure,
like,
I used to get so jealous.
What is going on?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well,
and then really we realized he didn't have any pants on. Like, that might be it.
My 99-year-old cousin, Keely, and he would always say, is Big Rick going to sing today? I said, oh, I think that's a 100% possibility right there.
Yeah, well, we love that. It's a perfect thing for us on Sunday, for us to
it was.
We're going to miss it. We're going to miss it unless you find a new venue for us. So
in North Wildwood?
Come up the Sea Isle, right?
No, yeah. No. Do it in Cape May. Please, do it in Cape May.
I wanted to just switch topics with Rick for a second.
I forgot
here.
That, yeah. Okay.
I want to pivot off of singing and bands and music and talk about your baseball career.
Yes.
All Catholic. Cardinal
yes.
O'Hara.
First team All Catholic. What do you want to know?
First team. All-Catholic.
Well, looking at the clock on the wall, we're running out of time.
All Catholic first baseman?
Yes.
For Cardinal O'Hara.
Cardinal O'Hara High School. We had, I was very lucky to have been a freshman when we won the Catholic League and be part of a team, just like musically. Those guys on that team, the seniors on that team, are my heroes to this day.
Yeah.
My baseball career was diminished when my kneecap was shattered.
Oh.
Somebody went Tanya Harding on him.
Wait a minute.
Sweep the leg.
I have been very lucky, mostly because of my parents. We weren't allowed to sit around and rest. You had to be doing something.
Yeah.
And either in the school show or academically or basketball or baseball. And growing up, Dan, and Gab, you know, you unfortunately were on the wrong side of the trash at St. Dennis, but at St. Dots, we were.
Greasers and socials.
And Parky with St. Andrews, he knows this. We're at the epicenter of college basketball in Philadelphia.
Right.
True. And, you're talking about St. Joe.
Talking about St. Dots.
St. Dots.
I mean, you're the epicenter of basketball in Philadelphia, St. Dots.
Aronimink Swim Club, you could go there on any given night and watch Big Five basketball players. You can see I boxed out Billy Cunningham at Aronimink Swim Club when I was 13 years old.
You know what? I'm going to argue with you here because I think the Narberth League back in the day was the best.
It was.
League. The Narberth
League. But that was a league.
You had all those wrong guys podcast. From the city coming out.
Did you guys do laser tag or did you guys do that? Laser tag or photon? Which one?
Sunday nights. Which
Billy Swan.
Rick, Butchie Lineham Sunday nights is at Aronimink Swim Club, hooping it up in pickup games.
Rick dunked on Howard Porter. I don't know if you knew that, right?
Did you dunk on Porter?
No, I did
in
not.
In 1965.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ed is out of this kind
no,
now.
No, it's cool. I could be a part of it.
Thinks we're talking about kickball.
Are we done?
Hoth is the ice world, and Tatooine's the desert planet.
And
Ewoks live on Endor.
So anyway, I just wanted to get your sports prowess in there also,
you know,
a little bit.
You know, I got to tell you, I have enjoyed the Vibecast so much.
Oh my goodness.
Until
I'm
now.
I'm so depressed that they'll end after this one. This is terrible.
Hey, Rick, do you have a favorite song to sing?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's New York, New York, probably.
Oh, shut up. No.
Oh, yeah, he does hate that one.
You know what? When Patty McGee is there, it's almost like I have to do my way, and it makes her feel so good that I feel good.
Yeah.
But, guys, the songs I love to sing, you don't do. I love the ballads.
I'm so happy about that.
You know, I fall in love too easily.
Matt, can we go to commercial?
I fall in love too fast.
Hey, producer Matt, interrupting real quick to remind you that on New Year's Eve, the band will be performing at the Springfield Country Club Also, if you jump into the description of the episode, you will see the email address where you can contact us with any questions or thoughts on the show. Be sure to like and subscribe on any podcasting app. And now, back to the show.
I really wish we could do skin.
Under my skin?
We can do it.
We can do it.
We just did it a couple weeks ago.
Every time I look at Kev, he goes, ah, the chart's not good on that. I don't have it's not.
I think we're...
We've done it a couple times with you because you've even done the Sinatra shtick part where...
I was on TV playing that.
No, that's right. Setting Parky up on his big trombone solo.
Haven't done that in years.
Yeah. You did it with us this summer.
No, I did not. We didn't.
Shut up, Gabby.
What's your favorite one you do with us?
I think it's The Way You Look Tonight because the band is just so freaking great.
And
Wailing, the song, as you know, it's a typical Nelson Riddle arrangement.
Yep.
Eases in and then wails.
Shout chorus.
Yeah.
And then you wind up at the end, it's back to calm. I kid about Tony DeSantis, but you know that boy can play.
Yeah, he can play.
Yeah.
He can.
Yes.
And
sometimes
so
a little
Ray.
Too much.
Listen, again, I don't want to blow sunshine up your dress. Porky, the guy is a math genius, actuary by day.
Yeah, you're right.
Trombone player, and then he could do Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi doesn't even do Bon Jovi anymore.
Yeah. How about that?
I know. It's just
Porky.
You got Ed Mount.
You can do Def Leppard.
Everybody's favorite showman.
Oh, thank you.
And you got Gabby. Oh my God! I mean, and then you have Dennis, but still.
You know, I was going to comment when you were talking about Tony. Like, yeah, he's great player, great player, but he just doesn't get the love train.
He does not
understand the love train. He doesn't get the concept.
You gotta watch him.
Still is the best. Do you not get the concept of love train, Tony? And he just looked like a pet that didn't know what to do. Like,
he ruined the whole friggin' love train.
Tony leaves, and then Dennis turns to me and goes, "Oh, I think I was too harsh."
On Saturday at the wedding, Dennis comes up to me and goes, "What'd you do with Tony? He got in line for the love train."
It was fear, Dennis. Fear.
Parky puts Tony in front of him now.
Yes.
He is Cosmo Kramer. There's no doubt about it. He's Cosmo Kramer.
That's a great analogy. Man.
That is.
Yeah, but what a wonderful musician. And
he is.
My son, really Tom, my son Tom and he go at it all the time too. So
That's great. Cool. Tony really wanted that job too. He wanted the gig, man, when we lost
He's a great addition. He knows what he's doing. People say to me, "Oh, you sound great." Nah, the band covered up about 13 mistakes. You didn't hear them.
Yeah, well, that's about my average on every song.
You are great, Rick. You are great. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure.
It really is.
Well, make it more. I'm dying here. I need more work.
I'm dying. So, Rick, any closing thoughts you want to leave us with? You can hang around for the rest of the podcast.
I'm going to hang around and audit the rest of the...
You can hang around. You are welcome to hang around.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Anthony.
Yeah, Rick Anthony.
We need a podcast vote. Do we mute Rick or not?
No, he could stay on.
He could stay.
He gets three strikes.
He can't say anything.
So next up is our songs.
Just look askance.
That's about all I know about baseball. There's three strikes in it, right?
Well, can I ask one more question, please?
Oh, Jesus.
One more question.
Go ahead. One question.
This is what we were talking about, Gab.
What?
I want to know, as I give you guys suggestions all the time to improve the band, when are you going to put in the theme from Speed Racer for your opening song during the summer?
We just did it at the wedding on Saturday.
You did?
Yeah.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels.
You do
he's
that at
a demon and he's going to be chasing after someone.
All right, so maybe we should mute
next on Channel 48, Star Blazers.
All right, I'll be quiet now. All right,
go ahead, Bork.
All right, our next... Rick, you're probably familiar with this. Each podcast we do a segment.
Why did you just give him an opening to join the style?
It was part of the test. It's part of the test.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Called Stories from the Set List. And you may remember from our last podcast, Ed Mount picked the song More Today Than Yesterday.
Oh, right, right. Ah.
Dennis, you often ask our audience who does the song as a trivia question. People mostly sometimes get it. Sometimes I think they get Stevie Wonder, right?
Right.
But the band is a band called Spiral Staircase.
You're right.
What I didn't know until I started to do the research, they spell staircase S-T-A-R-E.
Oh! Ooh,
how many? I didn't know that.
Staircase. Oh, wow. One trivia question I'll ask you guys. What year did the song come out?
67.
I was going to go 68.
Close.
66.
66.
69.
Oh. Get the F out of here.
The song peaked at number 12 in 1969 on the Billboard charts. But it must have been a strong number 12 because for the year, it was number 50 on the top 100 songs for the Billboard Hot 100 for 1969.
Every Saint Denis dance.
Wow.
I danced with Carol, was Louise Mariano to that song.
I didn't know this till now.
If you're listening.
Was that their only hit?
That was their only hit. The band broke up shortly after.
It was actually a band?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they didn't
use, like,
the lead
singer wrote the song. So I didn't write
it. They didn't use a wrecking crew or something like that?
I don't know. I don't.
We didn't delve that far.
I don't know. There's not a lot available online about this song.
Okay.
So I tried. I really did.
Right.
Because now I got to go to the other material. For the Hot 100 in 1969, we have performed the top four songs.
Oh.
For 1969. Yes.
Big year.
You may be able to guess number one for 1969.
We do. Jude.
That's 68, but.
Damn it!
Oh, how sweet
it is. Sugar Sugar.
Sugar Sugar was the number one song.
The Archies.
Joe DiBarbieri, his favorite song.
Number two, we've only...
Wait a minute. Rick, go ahead, Rick.
Rick's making crops.
He's having a seizure.
Jump in. Such a
dumb song.
Suspicious Minds.
Oh, no. No, I don't know where that is. Number two, we've done it. We've performed it in public once. Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine.
Oh, we did the Upper Darby.
Yeah, we did it in Upper
Darby. Yeah, by the Fifth Dimension. If we ever do a podcast on Guilty Pleasures, Fifth Dimension, Marilyn McCoo.
I
like the second part
one
of the song. I like the Let the Sun Shine. It's a great song, both parts.
Yeah, yeah. From the musical Hair.
Billy D. Williams comes in and starts. Is that his name, Billy D.
Williams? No,
that's Billy, the actor.
Billy. Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis Jr.
Do you guys want to talk about Lando Calrissian? Because I could talk about him if you... Sorry, I got excited. Sorry.
Hey,
great song.
Colt 45.
From Hair.
Yeah, from Hair. Right.
All right, next.
What the hell?
I'm sorry. There's a lot of sports tonight. There's a lot of sports.
He's on a Billy D.
Number three for 1969. I thought this was earlier. Can't Get Next to You.
I thought that would probably been around 67 or 68.
Temptations or Four Tops?
That's the Temps.
That's the Temps.
The Temps. Yeah.
Okay. And number four is Honky Tonk Women.
No. Wow. It's below all those.
That's all I wrote down.
That's got that infamous cowbell. Clarky nails that cowbell.
Nails it. Nails it.
But that's kind of all I got on the Spiral Staircase. They broke up shortly after. They get together periodically to do, you know, reunion tours and make money. But
that's one of those ones where I see people singing the chorus. Like they don't know the verses or anything. But,
right.
And then they get to that, I love you. And you just see them, you know, belt it out.
Yeah. But I mean, you guys have any thoughts about memorable moments, thoughts about the song?
Well, that song was a holdover from Howie.
Oh, geez.
It was on our... on the Chico's Vibe original 20 songs that we learned or whatever. And we did it with John. Gebby sang it in Hoey also.
Yes.
And we just brought it right in. You know.
I do remember when you guys left, we continued to do it in Hoey, and Karen sang the verses, but I had to sing the chorus.
Oh, you're kidding me, really?
To do the high part, So.
Just out of the cold. Jeez. You had to come right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you know my pain.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun song to play. Fun horn chart, too.
Nah, everybody loves it.
Yeah,
everybody loves it.
The crowd goes not they don't go bananas.
No, people come out to the dance floor.
Yeah, they
it's
they,
a good they like song to bring people out if we have to do that. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We know how to do that.
We do. Chico knows how to do
yeah,
it.
We know how to do
of course,
that,
I had to change the key a little bit.
It's in G originally, key? Right?
Yeah, it was originally done in concert G.
Okay.
So it's for all you musicians out there.
Yeah.
Concert G. But and I dropped it down to E.
I don't know what that
just
means.
Just made
folks,
it easier to sing, sing the chorus.
I didn't even know that.
All right, let's get Ed into this.
Yes, you picked
the
song.
He's
the
one
Ed.
That picked the song.
Why'd you pick it?
Oh,
why did you leave us hanging like this?
I got the Cloud City.
No, I like making set lists. I will admit that.
I
always like...
My favorite part about Ed Mount's set list is the little inspirational notes that you put in. Time to dance.
And the 8-point font.
Yeah.
I love that as well. 8-point font.
So that when we go to do the next song, I'm looking down at the floor. I can't see it.
Yeah, you put yours on the floor, man.
What are we doing? And then Brian Farr counts it off. And I'm like, oh,
crap. So go ahead, Ed.
No, I was saying, like, when also, like I made mixtapes a lot when I was in high school, and you know, dating somebody, and you try to find songs that dovetail into each keep the dance floor going, and that's one of those ones that just it automatically dance floor packing. Packer.
Automatically, I think Tim Burton should use it in a movie, but our version.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe you can tell Derek.
We could be stop motion characters doing the song.
You know, before we get off the stories from the set list, we got to pick our next song for the next podcast.
Yeah. Ah, who's
and I'm thinking I'm picking.
You're picking.
Fuck. All right.
What? And it just seems it seems logical after our discussion today, and it might lead to who our next special guest might be. I want to go with Love Train.
All right. Oh. Good one, John. Good one.
Plenty of stories, for that.
But. Many.
I'm guessing Tony's our next.
That seems likely.
The episode should just be called, Do You Understand the Concept of Love Train? Name that the episode.
It's going to be the name of it.
Do you understand the concept of Love Train?
So normally we wrap up the podcast by, you know, talking about songs that we like, that we would like to do as a band. You know, things that pop to mind over the course of the month. But for this month, I thought I'd do a little variation. Christmas songs that you like, that you would like us to play, but you know, maybe we never will. So, songs that you like that we don't play, Christmas songs that you think would be good to play.
Oh wow.
Like, what don't
I've play? Always liked Mela Kaliki Maka.
I love that.
There we go.
Love it.
And the Bing version.
And I'm singing it, not Gabby.
On the bride.
Bing Crosby, baby.
I bet Rick Anthony sings Mela Kaliki Maka.
Let me hear it, Rick.
That's the island greeting that we bring to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright. The stars to shine by day and all the stars at night. Mela Kaliki Maka is the wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Terry Higgins will love that. If we do that
song, and then the horn section goes. Mela Kaliki
Maka. Every time I hear that, all I think of is Chevy Chase looking out in a swimming pool at Cousin Eddie on the diving board. That's the song playing in the background, right?
I think. The shitter's full.
Yeah.
There's a song I like to do that Gabby and I actually wrote at the Normandy one night. It's called Christmas in Ireland. Oh, there's no place like Ireland for Christmas.
That's right. I forgot
that
about
one.
That.
That's a good one.
And you guys made that up?
We did.
We wrote
that. Wait, what are you guys doing?
Yes.
The Festival of the Lights.
It's on December 12th, but we're not exactly sure where it's going to be yet. Stu Sully would
like
to do it at his bar if he could swing it. He's a little concerned about so many people coming in and still the COVID factor and that whole thing. If it's not there, it's going to be at Sam's.
Oh,
you know,
okay, cool.
He should just have him pour Pfizer all over the counter and just have everybody just... Like, just pour the vaccine all over the bar. And then people come in, they slip, they fall, but they're vaccinated. Yeah.
Put needles all over the place.
I mean, like one of the Ghostbusters with the backpack.
Don't cross the streams.
But anyway, I love Stu so much, and we're leaving it up to him. Whatever he wants to do is fine by me. And we'll do it there, or we'll do it at Sam's.
Rick, didn't Sinatra write a Christmas song?
He did. He wrote the words to the Christmas Waltz.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking.
I forget what Rick said, but
yes,
the song, the Sinatra song I would love to do is his version of Jingle Bells.
I love the J-I-N-G-L-E bells.
We're putting it in this year.
Yes.
And I'm singing it even if Rick's there.
Speaking of Jingle Bells, I don't know who did it originally, but I know Barry Manilow did a remake of it. It's an up-tempo.
I ring but I forget the bells who, that make what? The whole world
no, no, no.
Those Christmas bells that go jingling.
No, I forget who did it originally. Somebody did it originally, but it's an up-tempo version of Jingle Bells.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And Barry Manilow did it.
I've never heard that.
No, we're doing Sinatra version.
You know what? Here's a song. It came out in the 80s, and I don't understand why it's not played every year. It's Billy Squire. Christmas is the time to say I love you.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You know what song I hate?
There's plenty of them.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Really?
I like that
one.
How's that song?
Nice horns in it.
I forget who does it. The waitresses, yeah. I hear that come on and I'm like, oh God.
What's the song? Oh by gosh,
by golly, it's time for mistletoe.
I thought Sinatra wrote that one.
Mistletoe and Holly.
And what's the other one? The sun is red like a pumpkin head.
That's
a marshmallow world.
It's a marshmallow world. Yeah.
Of course, I'm always partial to I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr.
Heat Blister.
I'm Mr. 101.
You know, my favorite song that we do, well, I love Happy Christmas.
That's not the challenge, just kidding.
No, no, no. Happy Christmas, Lennon song, is my favorite Christmas song.
Right.
But the one that I like that the whole band does with the horns is the Lou Rawls version.
Yeah.
Have yourself. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
That's good.
I love the way we do that.
You ever hear the original Judy Garland version?
Yeah.
Because the lyrics are like sad.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, because it was, I guess, during World War II. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
They changed them later.
And I love Judy, too.
Yeah. May I suggest the song?
So, Gabby, I was talking.
The Perry Como version of There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. Well, it's very slow in the beginning. For no matter how long
you
roam.
Do you want to hear our ending?
And it goes.
For the holidays. For the holidays. You can't beat home, sweet home. Bum, ba, da, ba, 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 ba. That's our version.
I
met a man who came from Tennessee. I'm getting a little drunk now, so I'm ready to sing.
Jingle, jingle, jingle. You will hear my sleigh bells ring. I am old Kris Kringle. I'm the king of jingling.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Hey, Matt was singing it with me.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I want to be a dentist.
We do a reggae version of Rudolph.
Where I'm waiting for him to break into the Tim Burton one.
Herbie doesn't want to make toys.
Herbie doesn't like make toys.
Hey, everybody. You guys are blowing it.
Their lives.
That's
more than I see.
Wait, what?
Silver
and gold.
He did a version. I don't.
What do we want? Like we want the crowd to fall asleep when we're playing. We want them to say,
"Well, then there's Burl Ives.
Have a holly jolly." Yeah, you got to keep it up. Come on, that's why you don't write set list, Rick.
Well, I love the way he sings it because he almost doesn't finish the word. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Listen to it. He hardly says this Christmas. I'm so cool, I don't have to finish the song.
That's right.
All right, next.
All right, favorite Christmas movie, Dennis?
My favorite Christmas yes. movie is the one with Darren McGavin. What is it, The Christmas Story?
Night Stalker? Oh,
no. Yeah, Night Stalker is great. Yeah, with the little kid that gets his tongue
Christmas
stuck
story.
On
it's
the,
a Christmas story.
Oh, a Christmas
yeah.
story.
That one, yeah. I like that. And Charlie Brown's Christmas. They're my two favorites.
Albert Finney in Scrooge.
Ooh.
It's wow. my favorite.
You're not a Bill Murray Scrooge fan?
Well, I like
oh,
it.
I love Bill Murray Scrooge.
I love the Albert Finney one, and he was like 31 when he played the role, too. Like he's, he looks like an old man.
I saw that in theater.
He's always looked like an old man.
Yeah. But the songs are great, too.
He's
that's,
great, Albert
That's
Finney.
Leslie Brisk and... Brisket.
I always like Christmas Vacation. When that comes on,
that
you
is
know,
so good.
Love that. And then the animated one I love is Polar Express.
Oh,
when
wow.
that comes I've, on, it really kind of
yeah.
puts me in the mood for Christmas.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'm a tradition. I mean, I love It's a Wonderful Life. And
don't
I
haven't say that.
Jimmy Stewart.
Wonderful Life.
And I have to say Die Hard because I, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yippee-ki-yay. Nobody mentioned Miracle on 34th Street with
like
the old guy, yep. Edmund O'Brien or whatever his name.
You're all wrong. It's Holiday Inn is the best Christmas movie. Come on.
How about White Christmas?
Oh, no, Danny Kaye's the one that's White
we'll
Christmas.
We'll follow the old man wherever he wants to go, wherever he wants to go.
You got to keep him distracted wait, while we're on television because you can't
there,
see it. That's
was there a movie,
plot.
The Bells of St. Mary?
Oh,
was
that, that's a great one. Yeah. Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Isn't that where he...
Sorry.
Isn't that where...
You know what the best song from the movie White Christmas is? And it's not White Christmas. It's Sisters, Sisters. There were never more devoted sisters. That's Rosemary Clooney, who she could
right.
sing, man, in her day.
And
who?
Mitzi
Gaynor, maybe?
When I'm tired and I can't sleep,
just turn around and smell my feet.
Instead of sheep.
And I fall asleep, counting my blessings. I love that song.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh. We should sing a tune. We should for our Christmas listeners.
What should we sing? 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 What
should we sing?
What should we sing?
You should look askance. You should look askance. $10 on Thanksgiving night. $100 on New Year's.
Oh, tryptophans. Oh, tryptophans. Falling asleep with tryptophans.
Kev's not singing. I'm just saying. Thanks, everyone, for...
Wait. Here's our song.
I thought
okay?
he was going to go.
You guys sing harmonies and all that shit. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. Rick. Comet. And Cupid. And Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall...
Sinatra Claus.
The most famous reindeer of all. Bass line.
Do, 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 do.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
Come on.
Guys,
we reindeer
had a very shiny nose.
And if
you ever
saw it,
you would even say it was like a light bulb. All of the other reindeer.
They were assholes.
You should call him names.
They
were poor Rudolph. Joining any reindeer game. Was sweet now. Then one foggy
Christmas Eve, baby.
Santa came to say,
Rudolph,
with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? And how the reindeer loved him. And they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless us.
Hey, but the cheek boob, bobble, bobble, cabbage.